This audio production is brought to you by the Islamic Institute of Toronto.
Okay, Sheikh, go ahead, inshallah.
Inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa la ni'amikal azeema wa alaikal jaseema. ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure and honor to welcome you to another episode in our series Illuminate Your Life, a study of 101 traditions from the Messenger of Mercy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today I have a beautiful hadith about Zikrullah, or remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the greatest virtues in Islam. I will read the Arabic and translate and explain some of the beautiful meanings of this important tradition. Anna rajulan qala ya Rasulallah, inna sharaiya al-islami kad kathrat alayya, fa akhbirni bi shayin natashabbathu bihi. قال لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله الراوي عبد الله بن بسر المصدر الترمذي وغيره. A person came and told the Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, the prescribed duties of Islam are too many for me to keep track. So let me know of one thing that I could cling to. The Prophet of Mercy said, let your tongue be always busy with the remembrance of Allah. The hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Bisr. It is reported by Tirmidhi and others. Abdullah ibn Bisr was a junior companion from Ansar. He narrated that his family invited the Prophet for a meal, and upon seeing him, he was a ghulam, a child. Not yet a teenage boy, this child will live up to a century. Of course, that prediction was fulfilled because he lived almost 100 years. He was the last of the companions to die in Syria. He was known for his scrupulous piety. This is one of the few traditions that he narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this tradition speaks of the excellence Fadail of Dhikr. Allah says in Surah 33, verses 41-42, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathiran wa sabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. O you who believe, remember Allah frequently or often, and remember and glorify Him in the morning and evening. Allah also said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. So remember me and I shall remember you, and give thanks unto me and do not be ungrateful to me. Dhikr, or remembrance of Allah, is one of the pivotal teachings of Islam. It is the heart and soul of all of the acts of worship in Islam. The crucial nature of dhikr can be inferred from the fact that it is mentioned in 268 verses in the Quran. You can imagine how dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how important it is according to the worldview of the Quran, the moral worldview of Quran. Before proceeding further, let us mention the meaning of the tradition that we cited. Once a man approached the Prophet asking him to mention one simple thing that he can always practice to ensure salvation. Of course, we should not think the man was trying to get away from all of the obligatory duties, because no one can dispense with the faraid, the prescribed duties, obligatory duties. No one can dispense salah, zakah, hajj, and suyam, and gain salvation by engaging in dhikr alone. No, that is a misconception some people have. It must be corrected, because no one can get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by first establishing the obligatory duties that Allah has prescribed. We have mentioned that Hadith Qudsi before, so I'm not going to repeating it now. He was asking the man, therefore, after having done these obligatory duties, is there one thing that he can? Because there are so many virtuous deeds a person can think of, but he wants to pick one that he can cling to, he can practice consistently. And what is that thing? That is the question the man is asking. He was asking of something extra, which is not very hard on him to practice. We find so many instances, if you look in the hadith, so many people, different people asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam different questions. Of course, unlike us, they're always asking questions about how to get to Jannah, how to practice virtues, how to amass virtues, how to reap blessings, how to reap the tremendous rewards and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the kind of questions you will see the Sahaba asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always. They are not trying to ask a question to get away from the obligations, from the duties of Islam. They are all concerned as to how to amass virtues and reap the blessings, and the Prophet responded to each person according to his particular circumstances. So once he tells a man, go and serve your parents. And another person, he said, sit at home and cry over your sins. And when another person comes, he'd ask him, La taghdab, don't get angry. Of course, there are too many other examples. These are only a few examples. So one thing we can infer from all of these answers is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a mercy for the whole world, for all of humankind. And that Islam is a manifestation of divine mercy. So Allah's mercy embraces each and every one of his servants. Therefore, one doesn't have to be a scholar or a saint or a rich person to merit the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All that is required of every person is to be receptive to Allah's mercy by applying themselves to acts of virtue that they can readily practice after having performed the obligatory duties. One such simple thing that everyone can practice is dhikr. By practicing consistency in dhikr, we can achieve salvation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kalimatani habibatani ila ar-rahman khafifatani ala al-lisan thaqilatani fil mizan subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. There are two phrases that are dear to the beneficent, to Ar-Rahman, light on the tongue to pronounce and yet heavy in the scales of the judgment day, namely Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, glory be to Allah and praise be to Him, glory be to Allah the Great. Imam Bukhari recognized the importance of this tradition. Therefore, this is the last of the traditions he inserts in his masterpiece, Sahih al-Bukhari. So therefore, by advising the man, let your tongue be supple with the remembrance of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant that he should remember Allah unceasingly, without a stop. This is a reference to the following verses. الَّذِينَ يَذُكُّرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting and lying upon their sides. And in another place, in Surah 4, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ. When you have completed the Salah, remember and invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, standing, sitting or lying on your sides. The merits and rewards of dhikr unsurpassed. Dhikr is the life of the heart. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, a believer is so conditioned to dhikr that when he stops dhikr, he will feel restless like a fish taken out of water. He also said, there is a Jannah right in this world. One who does not endure it cannot hope to get to the Jannah in the next world. So when surprised somebody asked him what he meant, he said the Jannah here is Dhikrullah. Speaking of the blissful experience, result as a result of Dhikrullah, Abdullah ibn Adham, one of the great pious men, said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُلُوكُ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكُ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ لَجَعَلَدُونَ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّيُوفِ. If only the kings of the world and their sons were to know the blissful state we experience, they would fight with sword to snatch it if they can. So what are the lessons that we can derive from this hadith? Number one, Allah's mercy towards his servants is boundless. It is reflected in the many, many saving devices Allah has prescribed by considering our weaknesses and limitations. The Prophet's companions were eager to amass virtues, and the Prophet, like a skillful spiritual physician, advises each one of them according to their circumstances. Constancy in dhikr keeps our hearts alive, and it guarantees divine grace. And of course, dhikr involves tongues, hearts, and limbs. It includes prayer, reciting the Quran, invoking God's names, glorifying, praising, magnifying, expressing our reverence and awe for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and above all, being always mindful of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us all to celebrate his remembrance always. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a death by invoking the names of Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have been listening to an audio production by the Islamic Institute of Toronto, Education for Virtuous Living. Please visit our website at www.islam.ca.